Hi, and welcome to Adventure Dog Podcast, the podcast all about doing amazing things with your doggos. I'm Nathan Berry, she's Roo the Shark, and this is episode 25. Today, Roo is itching for fall to arrive. I'm scratching the last few days of summer off the calendar, and we have an awesome show with Nav and Arrow fresh off the Appalachian Trail. Inevitably, every year about this time, Roo gets a bit of a grass allergy flare-up. It's pretty minor, but I thought I'd share a couple quick things that we do to relieve the itchiness. First, I've actually checked with my vet just to make sure that there's not something else going on. Sometimes allergies can be a bit tough to diagnose, and allergies also often get worse with age. In our case, Roo gets a few hot spots from scratching, so we tend to bathe her more often to keep her clean, and we pay real close attention to her paws and in between the toes. I increase her omega-3 fatty acids in the form of fish oil, and I'm starting to include just a bit of coconut oil as well to help condition her skin and coat. And that just goes right in with her regular food. Though, a bit of a warning, some dogs can have reactions to coconut oil. So again, check with your vet first, and when you do try it, start out slow. If you're interested in using herbs for at-home solutions, you can also try chamomile flower, typically in the form of a powder, which helps to soothe skin when you use it externally. Or you can also use it on their food as a mild sedative and anti-inflammatory, pretty much the same way it works in humans. I know that Kairos for Dogs makes a ready-to-use chamomile powder, so that might be worth checking out. You can also use an over-the-counter antihistamine such as Benadryl, and this is the most important part. The dosage is 1 milligram per pound of body weight, and it generally comes in 25 milligram tablets. Also, make sure that what you're giving is only diphenhydramine and doesn't include any additional medications such as like a decongestant, which not only doesn't do anything for your dog, but could be harmful. Meanwhile, we're just looking forward to fall and hopefully some less allergies. Today's episode is about an adventure that began in the spring and only just recently finished in the late summer. Imagine spending 5 months accomplishing an epic adventure, which is exactly what Rachel and her Sheltie Arrow at Hiking with Arrow just did on the Appalachian Trail. Looking at your Mount Washington photos. Y'all were so lucky. Y'all had some beautiful weather.
Oh my gosh. And what's crazy is we weren't supposed to have good weather. So it was like, it was nuts. We had perfect weather the whole time we were in the Whites. It was insane.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah.
I've never been, but I am thinking about going there.
Yeah, do it.
I really want to. Yeah.
It's really difficult, but it's gorgeous.
I like difficult.
Okay, well then you'll love the Whites then. I hated them, but I love the views.
Well, I can imagine you could probably hate them after, you know, 1900 miles on the trail.
Justifiable, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's a big thing to deal with when you know that far in.
Right.
But at least at that point, you know, you're kind of prepared for it to some degree.
You're so strong. Yeah. Yeah, some degree.
Well, yeah, if you're ready to get started again.
Yeah. I'm good when you are.
Okay. Well, yeah, if you just want to go ahead and introduce yourself and your dog.
Well, hey, my name is Rachel. Trail name is Nav. And I just finished hiking the Appalachian Trail from Georgia to Maine with my amazing dog, Arrow.
Yeah.
She is 3.5 and she's a Shetland sheepdog. And we hiked the trail in 5 months and 11 days.
And y'all did an amazing. The photos are just beautiful. Like,
oh, thank you.
I've been following the two of you. Well, not just the two of you, because you've, of course, been with other people all throughout.
Sure.
And it's kind of gone back and forth. But I've been following you for, gosh, maybe about half the trip. And it has just been amazing to watch and just beautiful, beautiful photos.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. It's been pretty cool. So, well, tell me first a little bit about Arrow, you know, where she came from, how she came into your life.
Yeah, so funny story. I was newly married at the time, and we had two cats, and my husband was begging for a dog. He wanted a dog so bad, and I was like, I have the cats, I have you, I do not need a puppy to take care of. And he just begged and begged and wore me down enough to be like, okay, we'll go look. We'll just go look. Like, maybe, I don't know, no promises, we'll look. So he had had a Sheltie growing up that he absolutely loved, just based on how intelligent they were and how obedient and everything. So we found a Sheltie breeder up in North Georgia. We were living south of Atlanta at the time.
Okay.
So we drove like 2.5 hours up to this breeder to go look at these puppies. And they had two dogs left. And the whole time I was just, you know, kind of being like, trying to play hardball, like, we'll see, you know. And so we walk into the house and the woman takes us into the room where the puppies are, and I can't even explain to you, my cold heart just completely melted the moment I laid eyes on Arrow. She was sitting in the corner like being so perfect, and she walked over to me, and I just remember I was like, oh my gosh, that is the cutest thing I've ever seen. She walks over to me and just like lays down like right next to me, and I was like, okay, this is it, this is the one we're getting. So
because she probably sensed that, okay, you're not a dog person or something, so I'm just gonna come and I'm gonna make it happen.
Yeah Well, that's, I mean, I am a total dog person, like I grew up with dogs. Okay. I just loved them. Just at the time I was like, we already have so much going on, you know, puppies are so much work.
Yeah.
So that was my whole mentality. But man, the moment I laid eyes on Arrow, it just completely broke me. And it's funny because now, obviously, Parker, my husband, really wanted her, but she's kind of more my dog. So, oops.
Who feeds her the most?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
And then, of course, after hiking with her like this, that's a huge special bond to some degree, I would think, too.
It really is. It's like we've always been really tight, but I don't know. Now I just feel like we're just connected on such a deeper level. Like I can just look at her and I don't know. I just feel like I know what she's thinking and vice versa. I don't know. It's very special.
Were you an active person before you had Arrow?
I was. I've always played sports and been into working out and running and all that stuff, which is why I felt comfortable getting, you know, a more active dog.
Yeah.
Because that's not something I wanted, like, to get an active dog and then they're stuck in the house all day, you know. So definitely was into all those things. I didn't really start hiking, though, until after we got her, because I grew up in Oklahoma, so not a lot of hiking out there. But in Georgia, obviously, there is. So,
yeah. Oh, I'd beg to differ. There's some cool places in Oklahoma.
Yeah,
definitely so.
Maybe.
But especially being in the South and being, you know, I've been on the Appalachian Trail too. Yeah, definitely the green and the trees makes a huge difference.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah.
Especially in the summertime too.
Mm-hmm.
So once you got her, how long was it before you started getting out and doing more hiking with her?
She was 6 months old when we went on our first backpacking trip.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it was her first backpacking trip. It was also my first backpacking trip. My brother-in-law took my husband and I and a bunch of friends on a backpacking trip because he had gotten into it.
Yeah.
And so we went on that, and I've been hooked ever since.
Okay.
Yeah.
And has she mm-hmm. always carried a pack, or was that just something you kind of worked up with her? I mean, what was her progression into it?
Yeah, so I think, I don't know, I'd say the first year she didn't carry a pack because, you know, I'd go on overnight trips. I can carry her food. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But when I really started pursuing the idea of thru hiking and then we went on longer backpacking trips, I just thought, you know, she needs to carry her own stuff. So I just started with like an Amazon, like a cheap Amazon dog backpack to get her used to it.
Okay.
And it worked out really well. It didn't seem to give her any issues or inhibit her ability to run around and stuff.
Yeah.
And then leading up to the thru hike, I just every day we'd go for a walk, started with just the halter. And then, you know, 2 days later, I added the saddle bags. And then each day, I add a little bit more weight up until it was about the weight she'd be carrying on trail. So
Okay.
that's kind of how I prepped her for that. Yeah.
Well, you kind of already brought it up about doing the thru hike, and of course, I definitely want to get into this in just a
Yeah.
second, but at what point of especially hiking with Arrow did you start to look at the Appalachian Trail, but not only planning for the Appalachian Trail, but planning to hike with Arrow?
Yeah, so that first backpacking trip that my brother took us on, it was actually the AT Approach Trail. So it goes from an
Okay.
area called Amicalola Falls to Springer Mountain, which is the southern terminus of the AT. So we were on this trip and we actually met someone who was beginning their thru hike because it was late spring at the time. I think he was probably one of the last ones to start, but
Oh, wow.
we
Okay.
met him and I was just like, what is this? I had never heard of the AT or anything. Of course, when I get home, I start researching it and I just start obsessing over it as most people do who end up thru hiking. But I don't know, when we went on that trip, I just saw an entirely new side of Arrow that I'd never seen before. She just came alive on trail. And I remember Parker and I looking at each other like, this dog is a different dog out here. She's so happy. She's so energetic. She's doing her like herding thing
Yeah.
around the whole group. And she just really seemed to be in her element. So when I really started looking at this, I had seen that people had hiked it with dogs before. And
Yeah.
I just honestly, it was like, I can't do it without her. Like, I feel like if she knew that I did it without her, she'd be heartbroken, honestly, because she just loves it so much. So it was kind of just always the plan to take her once I started learning about it and decided I wanted to do it.
Yeah. Like that feeling of you're gonna come home and she's gonna sniff you and go like, I know where you've been.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And she knows too. Like if I pull out the backpacking stuff, she gets so hyped.
Oh,
She's like
really?
running around the house, like barking at me, like, okay, where are we going, Mom? Like, let's go get your stuff. It's so great.
Was there any specific information, books or websites or anything that you found, people that you talked to that kind of got you the right information about how to take a dog on the Appalachian Trail?
So I'm going to be honest, there's not a lot of resources out there about
Okay.
hiking with dogs and specifically thru hiking. So there were a couple blogs that I found that kind of between, I feel like there were only two that I really read
Okay.
that actually had like good information besides like make sure your dog has water, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Between those two, that's how I found the company that her pack is through, Ground Bird Gear,
Yeah.
and then like different food requirements and stuff. But honestly, for the most part, it just came from experience. Before the trail, we'd go backpacking at least once a month, maybe twice. So over time, I just kind of figured out what worked for her, what didn't, stuff like that. So not a lot of resources, and that's actually something I'm working on because there's just
It's
not a lot out there.
time to start writing the book.
Exactly. Fill the need, right?
Yeah. And I guess I have to say kind of a little bit of a shout out here for Groundbird Gear. They're actually the ones that put me in touch with you.
Very cool.
And so that was a neat thing to
Yeah.
kind of hear from them. And when I got in touch
Yeah.
and they're like, well, this is, here's Rachel and here's Arrow, but they're on trail, so you might not be able to get in touch with them right now.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I, found your Instagram and reached out.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, Marie is awesome over at Groundbird Gear. She's the best.
Yeah. But let's get into the actual trail. You kind of
Okay.
mentioned like the in the southern terminus, that's Amicalola.
So the southern terminus is Springer Mountain, but
Springer Mountain.
you can't drive up and just step out of your car and be on Springer.
Right.
So there's two ways to access Springer. There's one that's from Amicalola Falls on the approach trail. It's about an 8.8 mile trail. Or you can drive up Springer Mountain, and then there's a parking lot about a mile north of the summit. So you can park there and then hike up to Springer. Yeah.
And just leave your car there for like five months.
Yeah, not suggested, but I mean, if you don't have an option.
So, you guys started pretty early this year. You started, I want to say March 17th. Is that correct?
Yeah, St. Patty's Day.
Okay. Well, yeah, kind of if you want to go ahead and just give me the rundown, tell me how it went, you know.
Oh, gosh.
And of course, something like this, I mean, I don't know how you can fit all of this into, this could be like a two-part or three-part podcast. So give me your favorite parts, you know, starting out, how did it go?
Well, I definitely feel like we had the absolute best Appalachian Trail experience possible. It just, everything fell into place so well. We were always where we needed to be when we needed to be there. We had a couple issues come up, and it was like we were always in the perfect place to get it taken care of.
Okay.
Yeah, so when we started, obviously we started in Springer Mountain, the southern end, and we went northbound, aka Nobo. That's some trail slang for you.
Yeah, throw in all the trail slang so that we get the full effect. Because this is the stuff that we've got to know when we're out on the trail, so we don't sound like total idiots. That we actually sound like we know what we're talking about.
I love that. Well, if I say something and you don't know what it means, tell me to explain it, because I could be really bad about that.
Well, the first thing I should ask you about is your trail name.
My trail name. So my trail name is Nav, like navigator.
Okay.
I got it given to me my first week on trail because it was weird. Like people would just like randomly come up to me and be like, hey, do you know where the next campsite is? Or do you know how far the next water source is? And then the moment that I really got it was we were in a shuttle in North Georgia, and I'm very familiar with the roads up there because I hike up there a lot.
Okay.
And the shuttle driver didn't know where he was going. So I told him like literally where to go. And then my trail family, aka Tramley, was in the car, and they were like, Navigator, that's you. You tell everybody where to go. And so I kind of sat on it for a couple days, and I ended up coming up with Nav because I wanted something like short and cool, I guess. And that fit. So yeah, Nav.
Nav and Arrow.
Nav and Arrow. Arrow has a trail name. Her trail name is Styx.
Oh, wow.
Because she's obsessed with every stick she can find. And it's incredible because at camp at night, if people are building a fire, you know, gathering sticks, she'll just sneak up and like steal them,
pulling the fire apart.
it's phenomenal. So she got that trail name too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So going back to starting out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we had beautiful weather the first week. I actually started the trail with a friend. Her name's Tatum. Trail name is Puppet. And we had met previously. So we started the trail together.
Okay.
And which she actually summited yesterday, so that's so awesome. Shout out to Tatum.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Anyway, so we started the trail together, and it was so helpful because she was so willing to help with Arrow. You know, a couple of the first nights, it got really, really cold, and I had a little pup tent that I started in a hammock.
Okay.
So I had a little pup tent that attached to my hammock, and you know, she would stay warm in there, but when it got like really cold, I would just be like a little extra concerned. And so Tatum actually let Arrow sleep in her sleeping bag with her a couple of nights, which was so cool.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then going into towns, like when we'd resupply, Tatum, you know, the first person I was with, she was so great about like holding Arrow for me while I went to the store, and then, you know, we'd switch and stuff. So yeah, that was a huge blessing. But we started the trail together, and I don't know, it was just like so fun. It kind of feels like your first day of school when you start. I remember my first night, we're at Hawk Mountain Shelter, which is about 9 miles past Springer. And I remember like walking over to the shelter with my dinner, and like all these people are sitting around. It's like, where do I sit? Who do I talk to? You know, it kind of is that like nervous, like everyone's excited and nervous. And so it was really cool. But yeah, Georgia was beautiful. And then getting into North Carolina was insane. And man, I think the views really started like northern North Carolina, Tennessee.
Okay. Which would be kind of around the Smoky Mountain area.
Yeah, kind of that. Yeah, I'd say there were really good views there, but north of that, there's an area called Roan Highlands,
Okay.
and that was by far my favorite part, I think, of the whole trail, because you're just walking over these giant grassy balds and you can see for miles. It was so beautiful. And I had only really hiked in Georgia. And so in Georgia, it's like these tall trees. They call it the green tunnel because you can't see anything except
Yeah.
little things here and there. So being up on those grassy balds was just like, I don't know, it was mind blowing to me. And you just feel so small because you're like, I see all these giant mountains around me. And I don't know, I'd say that was definitely one of my favorite parts. And it just, the whole trail is so beautiful. I miss it.
I guess let me kind of break down sections of it
Yeah.
because, and the Appalachian Trail is always something I've been interested in. Of course, I live in Tennessee on the west side,
Okay.
and I've occasionally made some trips over to the east side, and I've
Okay,
been.
so go to Roan Highlands. It's
Okay.
it shouldn't be that far from you. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, that's one of the places I'm looking at now. I've been through
Yeah.
the Smokies, and that,
Okay.
of course, is all beautiful,
It
Smoky
is.
Mountain National Park. But so the main sections would be kind of Georgia up to Tennessee. Tennessee up to North Carolina and into to Virginia is kind of like another section, I feel like. And then once you pass through there, that's when you start getting kind of up into the New England area.
Correct.
How is all of the area from, say, Northern Virginia, West Virginia, up to, and correct me if I'm wrong, it goes
No, you're good.
through, do you go through Pennsylvania,
Yes, it does.
and into New York? Okay. Yeah, I guess
Yep.
you have to go through Pennsylvania.
Yeah. So it goes Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York. I would kind of group those probably.
Okay. I assume that it gets a little flatter in that area until
Yeah.
you get further up to, I would say, probably into, well, of course, Vermont and New Hampshire. You've
Sure.
got some serious mountains. And
Definitely.
for anyone listening, I had a previous episode with Vermont Trail Pups too, and we talked extensively about the White, which is all in New Hampshire. You've got the Presidentials, of course, Mount Washington being the highest mountain there on the East Coast. So, yeah, kind of as you got further north, tell me, some of your favorite spots there. How was
Yeah.
that?
Yeah, so Pennsylvania was really flat. Leading into Pennsylvania, everyone's like, Pennsylvania is so rocky. I really think every state after Pennsylvania was rocky.
Yeah.
It's so funny. But yeah, Pennsylvania was pretty easy for the most part, and we got tons of trail magic there, which was insane.
What is trail magic?
So trail magic is when people, kind-hearted people, which we call trail angels,
Okay.
come to trailheads, like different parts where the trail crosses roads or whatever. And they'll like set up food, they'll do cookouts and
Oh,
like grill
wow.
hamburgers, they'll maybe give us sandwiches, Gatorades, pop, beer, whatever, like just all kinds of stuff. So it's literally the best thing ever. So yeah, that was a huge highlight in Pennsylvania. I'd say, gosh, yeah, it kind of was pretty easy. New Jersey was pretty easy too. I think the highest point in New Jersey is like 1600 feet high. It's pretty easy.
Okay.
I'd say New York, it started to get pretty like tough again, like steep climbs. But yeah, we didn't see any like 4,000 footers until we got into Vermont and New Hampshire, which were definitely extremely challenging, but the whites were so beautiful. Like, it's hard to describe with words how just majestic and
Yeah.
vast they are. I mean, you're in the alpine zone, you're above tree line. So you're just basically walking on exposed rocky trail and just seeing the world around you. It's breathtaking and I don't know, almost magical, I guess. It was really cool. And yeah, I loved the whites. I hated the trail of the whites because it was so difficult.
Yeah.
And Arrow, like one day her paw got kind of red just because it's just so rocky. The whole thing is so rocky.
Okay.
But it was, I mean, insane views. I don't know if I'd ever go again. I probably would, honestly. But it's beautiful.
Just going up there and doing those mountains is one thing, but you also made a 1900 mile journey just to get to those.
True.
How did you progress throughout? Did you go into the trail, did you start out already having kind of a base of some fitness before mm-hmm. you started in Georgia? Or did you start out kind of pretty easy and build up while you were on trail?
Yeah, so I mean, I definitely prepared as much as I could before leaving. I, you know, was a part of a gym. I'd do squats and lunges and cardio and stuff. But I mean, nothing can really prepare you for walking for yeah. between 5 to 10 hours a day, because, you know, our culture just doesn't, we don't do that. So
unless you're just really lucky and you don't have to work yeah. and that's what you get to do for a living.
Yeah. Or you're a nurse. Nurses are yeah. very well prepared for the trail. But anyways, yeah, so we just started really slow. We did shorter miles. I probably averaged between 8 to 12 miles for my first month.
Okay.
I got some advice from a foot specialist, and he told me, like, the biggest thing that he saw with thru hikers was they would just push too big of miles too fast.
Yeah.
And then also talking to my vet about aero, you know, that was also a recommendation of, like, really giving her the time to adjust, because she can't talk at work. She can't be like, hey, mom, I yep. need a day off, or hey, this is a little too much, you know. So it was a win-win for both of us, for sure. I think it really allowed our bodies the time to adjust to, you know, what we were asking of it. Yeah, just slow miles. I'm a pretty fast walker, so I'd pass a lot of people throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And it was nice. You get to camp at like 2 p.m. and hang out with everybody. But yeah, just starting slow and just really taking the time to listen to your body. Like, oh, my knee's hurting, let me stop and stretch for a few minutes type stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, when you started out in Georgia, you had your friend Tatum, aka Puppet, and mm-hmm. y'all started, you know, how long did you go with her before you started meeting other people?
Yeah.
You know, how was finding other people and kind of sticking with those people along the trail?
Yeah, so the community on the trail is a really interesting dynamic. Personally, one of my absolute favorite parts of my entire trip. So her and I, let's see, we met a guy, his trail name was Pick, on day 3. And we were with him. She was with him longer than I was, but I actually parted ways with them in mid-Virginia.
Okay.
So we were together for a really long time. For a while, it was just the three of us. And I don't know, like, we were ahead of the bubble. The bubble was kind of like the most people start at the same time. So
right.
that's kind of like the end of March. So we were ahead of the bubble a little bit. There were still plenty of people around, but not like our people, you know what I mean? So it was the three of us for a long time. And then basically when we entered Virginia, we kind of linked up with this group and we called ourselves Megatram because there were like 15 of us.
Oh, wow.
it was a lot of fun. Total blast. So we were with them in the mid-Virginia. We had just taken a day off, which is called a 0 day because you do 0 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So we had just taken a 0 day and we had hiked like a day and a half. And there was this like cool campground close to trail that had like a lake and pool and everything. And about half of Megatram wanted to go 0 there. And I, along with the other half, were like, guys, we just zeroed. Like,
yeah.
That's not necessary. Don't want to be out here forever. So yeah, that's when we parted ways. No like hard feelings at all. It was just like, hey, like, I don't want to zero, you do. See you later. You know, no
yeah.
big deal. So yeah, that was kind of how that happened. As far as like linking up with people, I don't know, you just kind of get your people that it's like, oh, I enjoy being around you. I enjoy
yeah.
talking to you. And after I left Puppet and Pick and a few others, I was with a couple of people, probably, I don't know, I guess when we split, there were like 6 with me.
Okay.
But then our mileage didn't all add up. So I ended up kind of sticking with 2 guys, Groove and Whiskey Peach. And then in the Shenandoahs, which is Northern Virginia, we kind of linked up with 2 other guys, Blouse and Crush. And then those 4 guys were the ones that I actually summited with. So they were my
okay.
family from then on. So yeah.
So it sounds like it's just kind of an organic thing. You know, you're just going along. And I,
yeah.
other than, you know, starting with Puppet, I can imagine that you didn't really have any plan other than just going, you know, specific
yeah.
mileage, not necessarily have any plan to meet people along the way.
No.
Okay. When you know, each day when you started or at the very beginning, of course, I'm guessing you had, a little bit of a plan of how
mm-hmm.
many miles to do. Was that based on anything in particular? You know, did you look at aero's pace and kind of stick with that? Or was there any
yeah.
kind of deciding factor?
I would say towns and food were our biggest deciding factor.
Okay.
We kind of, every time we went to a town, we would look ahead to the next town, see how many miles it was. You know, at the beginning, 10 miles a day, a town's 40 miles. Okay, that's 4 days. Obviously, as we got further into the trail and we're doing 20-mile days, we'd see a town that was 75 miles away.
Oh, wow.
So we're like, okay, that's, you know, 4 or 5 days, probably more like 5 days away. So I would say going into towns and food were our biggest determiner on like,
okay,
what our pace was. Besides that, I guess we would look at terrain. If it was a little flatter, maybe push bigger miles, do 20, 25, somewhere in there. If it looked like it was really difficult, maybe stick around 15 to 17. Obviously, this is later on.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say, yeah, food and terrain were the two biggest things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did anything, having Arrow with you, did that mm-hmm. kind of calculate into your pace or mileage in any way? Or is she just able to kind of go at the same pace that you're going and able to keep up?
Yeah, honestly, this dog is a super dog, I guess. Not superhuman, because yeah. She's not a human. Super dog. She is, gosh, like this dog can just run for days. It's ridiculous.
Okay.
Our biggest day was actually 32 miles. And we got to camp, and she's like running around playing fetch with people at camp. So
after
it's
32
like,
miles.
Yeah, like, are you insane? Go to
yeah,
bed.
Nice.
I can barely walk. Why are you moving still? So I don't know. I really think her breed has a big thing to do with it, because Shetland sheepdogs, they're literally created to run all day and herd sheep.
Yeah.
So because of that, she can really handle it. And then, you know, over time, she gets stronger. And as we all do, more athletic, your cardio gets stronger, so you can go further. Yeah, I'd say she just was very physically and mentally capable of being able to handle it. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure she was having a blast out there.
Oh, she was.
And of course, she is a bit of a smaller breed too, which mm-hmm. I think that probably has a lot to do with it. That helps her probably, in a sense, just be more sprightly and react, you know, able to react on the trail and mm-hmm. and move. So yeah, I guess that has something to do with it. Yeah, I'm used to the herding breed with my girl.
Aww.
But you know, I because of her size, I tend to limit her daily mileage when I can. You know, I don't want to push her. So
right. We
haven't quite hit that 30-mile mark, but
that's okay. It's a little crazy.
Yeah. That sounds terrific. That's really awesome to hear.
Thank you.
Did you meet any other dogs on the trail?
I did. So there's actually one guy named Shoelace, and his dog was Lily. We hiked around them for quite a while. We met in Tennessee.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I want to say the last time I saw them was right before Mount Washington in the Whites. So
oh, wow.
They probably have summited by now. I'm not really sure. But yeah, we were around them for a long time. Lily was a golden doodle.
Okay.
So yeah, a lot of lab in her, which again, those are working dogs, you know. And yeah, she was just a total sweetheart. I loved her. There were a couple other dogs here and there. I don't know. I feel like Lily is really the only dog long distance that I saw. Like,
okay.
You know, you see a lot of people with dogs in the beginning, but I think dogs get tired or, you know, injuries of course can happen. You pray they don't, but they can. And, you know, maybe I've heard a lot of dogs just kind of get tired and
sure.
kind of like, I don't want to do this anymore. So yeah, Lily, I'd say is kind of the last dog that I saw or that lasted the longest besides Arrow.
Okay. How did other thru hikers react to Arrow?
They loved her. People would tell me all the time, like, oh my gosh, this just made my day seeing her. I think you just get so used to seeing trees and dirt and stinky hikers that when you see a dog,
doggy.
It's like, yeah, it's such a mood lifter. We would go into camp and people would be like, oh my God, and, you know, freaking out. And it was a lot of fun. I feel like that was like a small way to give back to the trail community, like having her, because
it's like,
I mean,
bringing no pun intended, the creature comforts of home out to the trail. Having your dog on trail with you has got to be just fantastic.
Oh my gosh, it was. I was super spoiled. Yeah, because people would always be like, I miss my dog so much. This is so great. So yeah, I feel like I didn't ever really have any issues with people being like, you shouldn't have a dog out here, you know.
Yeah,
most people out there are animal lovers, so didn't really have that issue. But yeah, people were always very excited about Arrow.
Yeah, it sounds like everyone's pretty laid back. But I mean, did you have any issues on trail with whether it was people or just situations where things that weren't perfect?
Yeah, Arrow went after a couple bears, so that was fun.
Whoa, what?
Yeah. thankfully, they were terrified of her and climbed in trees, which is hilarious. Like this, you know, 300-pound animal scared of this 20-pound dog. But yeah, the first one was we were crossing into the North Carolina border, actually.
Okay.
And Arrow, like, she'll chase squirrels and stuff, which harmless. She can't catch them anyways. So she kind of like took off down the trail. It was just me and her, and she had like jumped in this bush, and all of a sudden I see this. It was a cub, thankfully. It was a small one, but it like jumped on this tree and ran up, and I was like, oh my gosh, Arrow's. I'm like screaming, like mom voice comes out, and thankfully Arrow is very obedient, so she immediately came to me. And so thankfully mom was nowhere to be found, and I had never seen a bear before. That was my first bear encounter, so that shook me up a little bit. And after that, I was definitely like way more careful about, like, if Arrow starts to run, like, make sure I can see what she's chasing. If I can't see it, then she doesn't run, you know. If it's a squirrel, go for it, but nothing else. And then after the Shenandoahs, we saw quite a few bears in the Shenandoahs.
Okay.
But Arrow was leashed the whole time, because it's by law you have to keep her leashed in that specific park.
And that was the next part that I was going to ask you about, you know, how are laws kind of along the trail? Do they change from state to state or area to area?
Yeah. So obviously there are leash laws in every state.
Okay.
Certain ones. I know a few of the states where dogs just had to be under voice control.
Yeah.
So didn't have to be physically leashed. A few of them were physically leashed. So if you ever hiked with a dog, you know that climbing over boulders and being attached to a dog is actually kind of dangerous. Mm-hmm. So if we were like deep in the woods on trail, I would keep her off leash. And I passed multiple, you know, Appalachian Trail ridge runners who actually work for the ATC and maintain the trail. And they would always ask me like, hey, do you have a leash? And, you know, I kept it in my hip belt pocket, like ready to go whenever I needed it. And I would always, you know, yeah, I do. And they're like, okay, great. Like, she's fine. She's very well behaved, just, you know, at road crossings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So usually road crossings, obviously when we went to town, stuff like that, I'd always keep her on a leash. But I mean, at camp and like on trail, as long as we weren't around like a lot of people or whatever, she was off leash, but she would stay like right with our group. So it wasn't an issue at all. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So she's got a pretty good recall.
Yes.
And I kind of interrupted you there, and I'm not sure what else you were going to say before I asked you about leash laws, but you were kind of...
It was the other bear story, yeah.
Okay.
So we had just left the Shenandoahs, and we stayed at a shelter, like, right past. And that morning, my buddy, we all slept in the shelter that night. One of my buddies got up and went to the privy, which is the bathroom, mm-hmm. or outhouse, essentially, just, like, a hole in the ground with a toilet seat.
Yeah.
So he went, and Arrow, like, loves him so much. So she went with him, of course, because she's got to keep an eye on her flock. and so... they like get to the privy, and then Arrow like takes off, and apparently there was a bear like right there, and so she chased that bear up the tree. But this time it was a 300-pound bear, so that's exciting. But yeah, Groove called her back, and I mean, she came back right away. He was like, okay, no more chasing bears, you're done. But also thank you for scaring it off. So it was funny.
Was there ever any worry about, like, did you ever have to carry bear spray or anything like that? It's not like, you know, being on the PCT where, you know, these guys could kill you. I mean, obviously, black bears can still do some damage, but I'm assuming that they're probably, in most cases, more afraid of you.
Exactly. Yeah, honestly, I mean, everyone's scared of bears because we read stories and watch movies about how bears are these big evil creatures. But honestly... after being out there and encountering, I think I saw 9 bears the whole trail, and they're just big raccoons.
Yeah.
They're scared of you. All they care about is food. And so if you properly hang your food bag at night, and you know, you don't leave traces of food around camping areas and stuff like that, you're not going to have a negative experience. They're honestly just as scared of us as we are of them.
Yeah.
So yeah. Didn't carry bear spray or anything. Never felt unsafe with a bear.
Okay. Yeah, I think in my experiences out that way, you have to be more afraid of the chipmunks.
Yes,
the mini bears. Yeah.
Yes, my, oh my gosh. Okay, can I tell you this hilarious story? So one of my friends, Crush, that I hiked with, he had just gotten a brand new Z-Pax duplex tent. And this was in New Jersey. And he, that night, had, he carried a fanny pack, which he kept all his snacks in.
Okay.
And he didn't.
I can see where this is going already.
Yeah. So he hung his bear bag, but he didn't hang his fanny pack, which had his snacks in it. So he was like, okay, whatever, it's fine. Like, there's people around, it's not a big deal. So he wakes up in the middle of the night and a little mouse had chewed a hole in his tent.
Oh, wow.
Had gotten into his fanny pack and eaten his favorite snacks. And then when Crush woke up, the mouse was on his chest looking at him.
like in a food coma, like food drunk. Yeah. Like,
oh my gosh.
I can't believe, yes, I ate the whole thing.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I think that's like one of my favorite stories from trail this year. It's so funny.
Wow. So now he's got a big gaping hole in his brand new tent.
Yeah, ouch.
That'll teach you to hang your food up really quick.
For sure. Yeah. Hang more for mice than for bears.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Any other really cool wildlife that y'all encountered?
When we were in Maine in the 100 Mile Wilderness, we actually got super close to a beaver. And that was cool. I saw my first beaver on trail in New York. Uh-huh. But this one was like, he was so big and he was just sitting there like chomping on some wood, and the trail walked like right past him. He was sitting in a pond and he just sat there and watched us. He was so cute.
Wow.
Yeah. I think that was my favorite for sure.
I've never seen any before. I would love to. They sound really cool. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other than wildlife, was there any other things that y'all dealt with on the trail?
Yeah, so I would say the biggest thing that shook me up, and Arrow too, because she was the one affected, was I had taken a couple days off trail in New York City because my husband got some time off of work to come visit me. And it was his third day in town, and we woke up and Arrow couldn't walk.
Oh, no.
Her front left leg and her back right leg were completely cramped up, and she just like couldn't walk. Like, it was horrible. And so I was like, well, she's not sore, she's had two, almost 3 days off trail, like it wouldn't be that,
right?
And so we went to a vet immediately, and my biggest suspicion was Lyme disease, because in Virginia the ticks were so bad. Like, there would be like, I think there was one night I pulled like 34 ticks off of her.
Whoa.
It was insane. Yeah, so I was like really hoping that wasn't it, but it just seemed possible.
Sure, absolutely.
So the vet immediately seeing her was like, yeah, this is probably Lyme, but let's go ahead and, you know, do a blood test to confirm. So took the blood test, it did come back positive for Lyme disease. So thankfully Lyme disease in dogs is extremely easy to treat. Humans, like, that's all I had heard about was, you know, humans getting in and affecting their nervous system.
Yeah,
and
I know with humans, you know, it can be a very, very serious thing. And even with dogs, I'm assuming it can still be extremely serious. You know,
it can be. For some reason, though, the vet kind of explained it to me, like, their bodies just handle it better.
Okay.
She said there's some dogs that can have Lyme disease their whole life and never show any signs, and it doesn't affect them at all. Other dogs like Arrow can have the muscle cramps and stuff like that. So, but thankfully she put her on some antibiotics, and she just told me, you know, give her 2 days off trail, and by the third day she should be fine. And honestly, after the first night of the antibiotics, she was already back to normal.
Good.
So it worked out really well, because my buddy Whiskey Peach, who I hiked with, he lived in New York. And so I met up with my tramley after Parker left at Whiskey's house. And his parents were like, well, she can stay here while you guys hike for a couple of days. So she was able to just hang out with them and take her medicine. And then she joined me a couple of days later.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's always amazing. Well, I say amazing. Dogs have, of course, they can't communicate directly with us.
Right.
And dogs have a really high pain threshold sometimes.
Yeah.
And oftentimes can essentially they keep it in whatever is bothering them until it, mm-hmm. they just can't handle it anymore. So,
right.
Wow. That's a tough situation. And I guess it's something to really look out for. So it was just almost mm-hmm. kind of like lameness and almost like fatigue, I guess.
Yeah, muscle lameness. That's the word I was looking for.
Okay.
Yeah, that's like the number one sign in dogs when they have that. So, yeah, thankfully she hadn't shown any of it before. It just like hit her that day. So,
yeah,
it hadn't affected her before at all. But, yeah, that was what showed us.
So is it something that will continue with her forever? I mean, once she has Lyme disease, does she always have it? Or is there a cure for that?
Yeah, so the antibiotic that the vet put her on, it was a 30-day
okay.
antibiotics. So I gave it to her every morning and every night on trail, and that completely knocks it out. So no, she
okay.
is no longer infected with Lyme. She is all healed.
Good, good, good. Yeah. Cause that's a big thing with humans. It can affect you for mm-hmm. years and years. And
oh
years.
Yeah. Like your whole life. Yeah.
Well, on that note, you know, she got to take a little bit of a break. I know that there are certain points along the trail, the Smoky Mountains, and of all places, like the very end on,
yeah.
on Katahdin, that you can't have dogs. How did you handle that situation with Arrow, like having someone pick her up and take care of her?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my husband actually came and met me before the Smokies and picked her up.
Okay.
Living in Atlanta. He wasn't very far.
Yeah.
So that was a huge blessing. And then after the Smokies, he brought her back, which obviously was a great excuse for me to see him. And then in Baxter State Park, which is, yeah, where the final summit, Mount Katahdin is, my friend Blouse, his dad was in town. He was in Millinocket, which is the closest town to Baxter.
Okay.
So his dad actually kept her that night and then kept her while we summited. And then we met back up with her in town.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's did it, I guess you probably have gotten that from a few people, like, oh, just sneak her mm-hmm. in.
Yeah, yeah, you can't totally do that because there's like rangers everywhere, so, and you know, you want to be respectful of
yeah.
the parks and their rules, so you know, I would never do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, considering probably how many extra miles she did,
exactly.
like you were talking about tracking back and forth, she mm-hmm. has probably summited a number of times.
Yeah, honestly, she probably hiked double the miles I did, if we're being real.
That's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but yeah, I guess it is just for the protection of the wildlife and everything
yeah.
like that. So
mm-hmm.
gotta respect those laws.
Exactly. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you summited just recently, like you've only been off the trail for about 2 weeks now.
Yeah, so I summited August 28th, so tomorrow will be 2 weeks.
Okay, how are you
yeah.
feeling?
I'm doing good. My knees are still super achy, and I look like an old man when I get up. but it's good, you know, kind of dealing with, like, reintegrating back into real life. It's,
yeah.
I mean, it's a little bit of a culture shock. You've been out of this for, you know, 5.5 months, so it's been, you know, I knew about it. I talked to previous thru hikers and watched videos and, you know, kind of informed myself about what they call post-trail depression.
Yeah.
So going into it, I was just like, okay, I'm going to be really patient with myself. Like, if I'm sad, that's okay. Like, you know, we'll get used to it. So it's definitely been tough. You know, you're moving all day. You're ending up at a different place every night. You're around the same people every day. So it's an adjustment. I miss my friends. I miss the trail. I miss, mm-hmm. you know, being so physically active every day. But I don't know. I feel like actually today was a really good day, kind of starting to look at the trail in my experiences. Like, what a great accomplishment. What a great memory.
Yeah.
More than like, I wish I was out there, you know? So I don't know. It's kind of tough, but you know, I have my family, people I can talk to, like we've been texting about it and, you know, just being patient with yourself. And my husband's been so sweet. It's like taking care of me and just helping me, you know, get back into real life. So yeah, it's a process.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you get to stop and kind of celebrate what you've done and really reflect
right.
on it. But you also get to eat all the things.
Yeah, exactly.
And kind of have all the creature comforts.
Mm-hmm.
A term that I'm familiar with is kind of coming back to default world, because
yeah.
in a sense, when you've been out there for that long, that's the real world. That's what like real life should be. And that,
that's true.
You know, just the magnificence of it and the beauty of it all. So yeah, I can imagine coming back to being in the city and living in a house. It's just kind of like, oh, this is so plain and boring.
Yes. Oh my gosh, it is.
Well, what about Arrow? I mean, how is she?
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that dogs have that same kind of psychological issue with coming off of a trail like that, but has it affected her at all?
Yeah, so I didn't really think it would, because we do have another dog named Winter that's also a Shetland sheepdog.
Okay.
And so I was like, oh, she'll have Winter, like she'll, you know, she'll be distracted, whatever. But honestly, man, the last week, like Arrow's been pretty sad. Like just her demeanor has just been, I don't know, like I just catch her looking at me all the time with this just like this like look of longing. Like,
when are we going again?
Yeah, like what are we doing here? Let's go. We've taken 14-0 days. Time to get back on trail, you know. Yeah, she's, I mean, she's definitely very restless, which I've experienced too. But yeah, like this is definitely the most hyper I've ever seen her in a home setting.
Okay.
You know, because she's used to hiking 20 miles a day. So it's like, oh, we go for a 2-mile walk. Mom, what was that? That was pathetic. So yeah, I don't know. I feel like she's kind of sad right now, but I'm definitely like trying to just like love on her. And then of course, like take her on spontaneous walks through the day. I work from home, so I can do that. And
yeah,
just try to, I don't know. Like, I'm like, Arrow, I feel your pain. Like, we're in this together.
Well, you know, that's a really good question. What are your favorite kind of just local spots right around where you live?
In Atlanta? Okay, so there is a big park called Piedmont Park.
Okay.
And it's kind of like the Central Park of Atlanta. It's giant park that's preserved and tons of trees and running trails and tracks. And there's like softball fields and volleyball courts. And it's really cool. So I say that's one of my favorite spots. And then just like walking around the city, super fun. Just all the hustle and bustle and the people. And of course, love a good sushi spot and coffee shop. So I sound so basic, but yeah.
Oh, you know, it's amazing how good basic is when you've been out on
that's
the trail.
That's true. That
for
makes
that
me
long.
Feel better.
It gives you a total different perspective and appreciation.
Yeah, that's very true.
Any future plans? And I know that, you know, one of the things I've always understood for me with, for instance, like marathon running, it's nothing compared to what you've done. But there is always that, you know, you get done with training for 3 months and doing a race. Yeah, there's still that what we typically call PMS. It's a post-marathon syndrome. It's,
yeah.
And it's that you can do really great, but you still have that complete down of like, oh my gosh, what do I do with myself next? And so I always find that kind of having maybe a goal race or a goal another month out or 2 months out, do you have anything else planned, kind of maybe not on this same level, but something, some big adventure?
Well, we are actually gearing up to move to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania next week.
Oh goodness,
so,
wow.
Yeah, so that's kind of, my husband got a job up there. That's kind of like the main focus right now. As far as like hiking and stuff, I don't know if we'll do any like long distance trails for a while.
Yeah.
But kind of something that's piqued my interest is like the shorter long distance or the shorter long trails.
Okay.
So like, for instance, the Long Trail in Vermont or the Lake Superior Trail or, you know, the John Muir Trail, stuff like that. So I'm kind of starting to research. I'd like to maybe do a few of those. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Kind of keep the adventure alive. But yeah,
absolutely.
I don't know. I've got some things in the works. We'll see. I do one thing. You're talking about marathon running. Now that my cardio is like the best it's ever been, I haven't ever really been a huge runner. Like I've run some 5Ks and stuff, but I think I might start training for a half marathon. I don't know. I feel like that'd be a fun new challenge.
Yeah, I think you could probably knock one of those out pretty easy.
Maybe.
It's not too much trouble.
No.
Well, there's plenty of like, you know, trail marathons, trail half marathons.
That's true.
With your level of fitness right now, a 50K would not be totally unheard of either.
That's true. Yeah, I definitely have thought about getting into trail running too. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah. And even with that, I mean, trail running, it's always at your own pace. You can go so easy with that. And so,
yeah.
Well, you know, let's pretend like I'm going to come up there. Rue and I are going to pack up all the boxes for you and move you to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
We're going to take care of any of your responsibilities at work.
I love that.
And yeah, you can, you know, pick a place, any place that you want to go to with Arrow and do whatever. It could be a trail run.
Yeah.
It could be one of those long trails somewhere. Anyone that you want, anywhere. Where would that be?
The West has really been calling my name. I don't know. It's been calling my name for a long time. I have traveled in pretty much, I've been to almost every state in the U.S., but I haven't hiked out there. So I have some family that actually lives in Southwest Colorado, very close to the border of Utah and Arizona area. And man, they just like, they post the coolest pictures of like hiking in canyons. And it's just like so different than anything I've ever seen. So
yeah,
I don't know. I'm really thinking about maybe next year, if I could get out there and do like a backpacking trip, it would just be such cool terrain. And I'm sure Era would love it, obviously, because it's sand and she loves sand. So,
well, a lot of rock too. There is some sand, but surprisingly, you know, when you get kind of in that area, you've got all of southern Utah. I'd say it's mostly rock, some sand, but you know, Colorado, you've got Arizona, you've got the Coconino National Forest and Flagstaff and Sedona, and you know, that's all forested area, so there's a huge mixture of stuff.
Yeah, that's definitely something I'm heavily looking into.
that's a really good choice. Very good pick. Utah is probably my top favorite.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, well, set in stone, have to do it now.
Well, awesome. We'll hook you up.
Heck yeah, all right.
We will print out the itinerary for you and the Adventure Dog Podcast golden ticket, and we'll get you on the way.
I love that.
Well, any shout-outs that you have for us? And that can be, you know, people on Instagram, people in real life. Obviously, you know, you just spent 5 months on the trail with a whole bunch of people. So
yeah, I would say, well, yeah, you kind of talked about them earlier, but Groundbird Gear, such a quality pack. It lasted the whole trail and didn't have any shaping issues or anything. So just very thankful for that. So go follow Groundbird Gear on Instagram. Another huge shout out would be to Puppet. I said she just summited yesterday. So she is Tate Takes a Hike on Instagram. If you want to go see her adventures, she posted a lot of really cool pictures. And then personal shout out, I would love to give a huge shout out to my husband Parker for just being so supportive. And it's a big deal to be away from your spouse for 5.5 months. Like, that's not easy for anyone. So I don't know, he was just always so supportive. And I'm very thankful for that relationship, and having that home base and support on, you know, tougher days was really nice, and being so sweet when I came home. And then my family, all of my family, my parents, my in-laws, brothers and stuff, just the encouraging messages like, hey, I'm so proud of you. You're chasing your dreams. That you know, means so much to you when you're doing anything. Yeah. And then of course to you, thank you so much for having me on here and
sharing about me and Arrow. You don't have to shout me out.
No, I want to.
I'm just happy to hear about the story. Kinds of things, this is exactly, you know, it inspires me, and it's stuff that I want to share with everyone else.
Yeah.
I think that your story is just, you know, it's amazing. And like I said, you're one of what sounds like only a couple people on the Appalachian Trail this year with a dog, which is, to me, you know, just goes to show that we just need more dogs out there. I mean, we need more people doing some awesome, awesome hikes like this with their dogs. And but it shows that things like this can be done. And
for sure.
Yeah. No, thank you. Thank you for all the wonderful photos, and it's just been really enjoyable following along. So
cool. I'm glad you did. It was fun to share. That was another thing too, why I decided to do Instagram and YouTube, was like, I know there's a lot of people that may never have this opportunity, you know, that would love to do something like this. So kind of my way of giving back and like, hey, let me take you on this journey with me, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I definitely hope that it inspires some other people to get out and do the same.
Yeah, me too. Life's too short.
Well, you know, I guess one good question that I didn't really ask earlier, of all the things that, you know, you spent money on and purchased and kind of getting ready for the trip, What are some of the key items either for Arrow or for you that you would highly recommend, you know, other than of course the ground bird gear pack? Anything specific that you would recommend?
If you're hiking with a dog, I would recommend tent. I started with a hammock and it worked out really great, but kind of through like a weird series of events, I ended up with a tent, and it was just, it was nice to have her in my tent with me. And it was just a lot less moving parts. Like with the hammock, I had, you know, my hammock set up, then I had her tent attached to it. And it was just like a lot of extra stuff. So just for sake of ease, like at the end of the day, you're just so tired. So that was nice. Just like setting up the tent, one and done. We're both in there.
Yeah.
Let me think what
that wasn't the tent with a hole in it, was it?
No. And he did get that repaired, thankfully.
Good.
But yeah, no, I don't know. Obviously your dog's pack and your pack are extremely important because, you know, people, I saw people get like bruises on their hips and, you know, stuff like that. And you don't want that. You want a pack that fits you really well. And then like, I'd say combating the cold, especially like in the spring. And even at the end, like it got kind of cold at night and stuff, just having the right gear for it. Cause I mean, one sleepless night and it's a miserable trip, you know, whether you're through hiking or just out for a weekend trip, I learned my lesson. Yeah. Just getting good gear. My biggest thing is just get the lighter stuff first. Save up your money. Don't get the cheap stuff. Just save up your money and get the good stuff because you're going to eventually buy it.
Yeah.
So save yourself the time and the money and just get the good stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
You mentioned the tick issue that you dealt with earlier. Was there anything that you used for tick prevention or?
I did. I used the Seresto collar, which is the collar that it's supposed to last for, I think it's like 8 months, and it just like slowly releases the tick repellent. Basically how that works is within 24 hours of the tick latching on, it kills them, which I did see, but it didn't completely repel the ticks.
Okay.
So something that I ended up doing when we got to Harper's Ferry was I actually treated Arrow with permethrin, and permethrin is a spray. You can get it from Sawyer. Yeah. And you use it on like your clothes and stuff to repel ticks. You're not supposed to get it on you because it can be like super hazardous, but for some reason it's okay for dogs. I don't know why, but it is. I talked to my vet about it before I did it and she gave me the okay. And after I treated Arrow with that, I think maybe I pulled 5 ticks off of her the rest of the trip.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
Yeah. So I would say treat your dog with permethrin because it really works.
Okay. Anything special like a tick pulling tool, or did you just go in with fingers and pull them out?
Yeah, fingers. I had tweezers too, like for like the really tiny ones that I couldn't actually pinch, but yeah, I just myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that's really good information to know. I'm glad to get that. Well, like I said, I really enjoyed looking at the photos, and I'm going to be kind of, gosh, it's going to be kind of a downer for me too, because I'm not going to get to continue to see like the day Appalachian Trail photos. So do you have extra photos that you're planning on kind of releasing over time and sharing?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I do. I definitely plan to keep the Instagram alive, so don't worry.
Okay. So we'll continue to see more Appalachian Trail photos.
Yes, for sure.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. That makes me feel so much better.
Well, good.
because it's been a huge inspiration for me and hopefully for other people. Yeah, definitely just worth checking out and worth looking through. I will continue to be looking at these and going back. So, yeah. Oh,
well, thank you. That means a lot.
Well, thank you so very much. And, you know, thank you for coming on and talking to me.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that we got to communicate back and forth a little bit while you were on trail.
Yeah.
And congratulations. Just what an awesome trip. What an awesome trip.
Thank you
so much. So cool.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me. It was an honor to get to be here and talk to you about this. A lot of fun.
Well, have a good night.
Thank you. You too, Nathan. I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yes, fall will be here in the next few days, but the temperatures are not going anywhere, so we are still struggling to get good trail time in safely. Plus, it's getting dark earlier, so we stay prepared with a good headlamp for either the very early morning or the late evening runs and walks that we do. So if you're getting out in the dark, y'all, be safe. Rue and I still want to hear about all of your cool adventure plans, so drop us a line. Email us at nathan@adventuredogpodcast.com or send us a message on Instagram @adventuredogpodcast. Please take a second to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. And as always, thank you for listening. Now, go and have an adventure with your doggos.